When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you are. This is Russell Tovey and...
Robert Diamond.
And we're here doing our first podcast called R&R on Art.
I think it should be called R&R Talk Art, personally.
I wanted to call it Art Smack, but Rob was worried about the drug connotations, so we're restricting ourselves with that one. But we are here because we did a podcast before together recently about collecting contemporary art, and it went really well, and we had a good time, we had a good rapport, and we had some good feedback, and it's something that we've geeked off about many times on our own, and we thought as buddies, as best mates, we could probably, you know, put it out there and see what other people think and spread our enthusiasm.
And this is basically a celebration of our friendship, which began through art.
Correct.
And you, this month, have been hanging out with a lot of artists, as have I.
Mm-hmm.
And who did you see after your play? Because we came to see your play. I brought my mum, actually, didn't I?
You did. I saw your mother. That was the big
highlight
performance.
She's
the best artist in the world. No, well, should we just talk about ourselves a bit? Because people might not have heard the first one.
Oh, yeah, good point.
So we met, well, I'm an actor, Russell Tovey. And when I met Rob, Rob was a singer, performer, writer at that time with a band called Tempo Shark. And we met, 10 years ago now?
Just over 10 years ago. We met like July, so...
Oh, it's another month, day in the time. And we were in Edinburgh for Tracy Emin had a big...
20 years of her work, retrospective.
Retrospective at the Edinburgh...
National Galleries.
Correct. And I, at the time, was collecting Tracy Emin drawings, and...
As was I.
As was Rob. And we've got tea coming in. You're going to have tea noises. We've both gone for green tea with honey in.
It's a bit Lady Gaga having tea noises, isn't it? She always has a cup of tea.
Oh, does she? Yeah. Oh, there we go. Well, let's...
I'm really happy.
Yeah, can you hear it?
If it's like Lady Gaga, I'm like thrilled. I saw her new film last night.
Yeah?
Yeah, she was great, actually.
Good, well, let's not talk about that, though.
Okay.
So, and we met there at this, at the retrospective, and we bonded over Tracy Emin drawing titles, and you had certain drawings, I had certain drawings. And
it sounds quite ridiculous, isn't it?
Does, it is kind of ridiculous. But we were geeks.
We were
geeking off about things. It was such a unique bonding that I never expected to meet anyone like that, and you probably never expected to meet anyone your age who was as...
enthusiastic.
Yeah.
Passionate.
Yeah.
What other great words can we use to describe ourselves?
Geeks. About, you know, art.
And actually, I'm wearing a necklace right now, which is a robot. I mean, you can't really get much geeky.
No, that's
very geeky.
Let's not talk about that. No, I love it. It's great. So that's how we met. And then I continued collecting, you continued collecting, but then you segued into becoming more of a dealer.
Yeah. I don't really describe myself as a dealer, though. I see myself as a gallerist.
Okay.
Because dealer just sounds a bit like you're sort of just...
Like Art Smack.
Move, exactly. dealer sounds like Art Smack. And it sounds a bit like you're just pushing sort of units or something. It's not really what I'm into.
Right, okay.
What do you call it? In America, they call it transactions. I remember one gallerist once said to me at an art fair, how many transactions have you done? And I was like, sorry? Like, what the hell does that
like
mean?
Like you're doing with a credit card machine.
Exactly. It's like, how many... I was like, that's a bit not my vibe.
Right.
I care more about the art and actual...
That's good. But you are a gallerist now, and the gallery you work for is...
Carl Friedman Gallery and Counter Editions, which is a leading kind of print business. And actually, we've just done a launch this week.
Yeah, so Rob this week has been having, he did a talk at Soho House.
Yeah,
with...
I interviewed Luke Toymans, who's pretty much one of the world's most famous painters.
Mm-hmm.
And
Living
painters, yeah. And he has been a big inspiration to me since I was probably 18 or something. I love his work. And it was just such a privilege to be able to talk with him. I kind of know him as a friend through an artist we work with called Nell Art.
And, oh, they're friends.
Yeah, he's very supportive of the local art scene in Antwerp. And it's kind of cross generations, like, because he's much older than she is, but all different generations there of artists hang out with each other. And it's really an inclusive kind of environment in Antwerp. And I'd hung out with him quite a few times, and he's a real laugh, actually. And then he becomes Luke Tuymans the artist in a way, and it was a bit, it was like meeting him as the artist. Yeah, actually, yeah, during the interview, yeah, he was like someone completely different in a way, like really strong and intense. And I actually got more and more nervous as I was doing the interview because...
What, going through? So like,
yeah, I was fine. I love talking in public. It's not ever been a problem for me. But as I was asking the second question, he sort of just stared at me and I was like, oh God, if I say the wrong thing, you know, and then he sort of took the mic from me.
You suddenly realised who he was when you were actually interviewing him.
Yeah, it's just...
You took him for granted before, like as a person.
Kind of, yeah. And it was just suddenly like, oh shit, this guy is major.
Big time.
Yeah.
Big time. But it went well.
It went really well,
And Counter Editions has released.
Yeah, we launched a new enamel triptych with him, which is based on a 1991 triptych that's in a museum in Belgium. It was a painting, three paintings that he made, and he always wanted to have it on enamel.
They're paintings that exist in the world anyway. He didn't make them exclusively for the edition.
No, okay. It's an existing triptych.
Okay.
And then he always dreamt of having it outside, and it's the first time his art's ever been outside. And it's based a bit on this idea of early advertising, which used to be on enamel panels that you used to see everywhere. I think even in like restaurants, you used to see like Coca-Cola,
like in France,
beer.
Like exactly. Very European, like.
Exactly, yeah. And then he was interested in German, I think, propaganda images and print techniques. And
so hang on, these can be installed in a bathroom, say, and be safe?
They can be, yeah. Why, are you now thinking of getting it for your bathroom?
I didn't know that was an option.
So basically he was talking about English country gardens because we're an English company and he had this idea of English people loving their gardens. Mm-hmm. That I think that was more of a light kind of perspective on it. Yeah. But he was also into this idea of putting it under a bridge. And you kind of almost like go under a bridge and discover it under a bridge. So he just likes the idea of it being outdoors.
Right.
And luckily, we did it on the terrace at Soho House, Greek Street, and it started to rain, but we were all covered, the audience. But the work actually got rained on, and I think he was really thrilled.
Oh, great.
Because it was on, we installed it on a brick wall.
So yeah, the perfect example of
exactly.
his work.
So I'm happy that we realised that for him.
Great. I'm happy as well.
Thanks, Russ.
So that's all right, Rob. So we have just bounced out of Freeze Art Week. We had two different experiences because you were experiencing Freeze, as you have done for the past
8 years
as a transactionist, as a dealer, as a gallerist with Carl Friedman Gallery. And I've been experiencing it this past 8 years as a collector. So we went into it, so we thought this is probably a good time to talk about our experiences of Freeze. But I need to highlight that for the past 7 years, your Carl Friedman booth has had Carl Friedman Gallery London on the flag that advertises it. And then this was the first year that we had Carl Friedman Gallery Margate.
Which caused a lot of excitement. Actually, more excitement than I expected. I didn't realise everyone was going to be that freaked out.
Yeah.
In a good way.
Really excited.
About Margate, yeah.
Yeah.
And obviously Tracy Emmett was there and she was very happy.
Of course.
She's from Margate.
Yeah.
And it's always good to see her. But it was really amazing the response we had from collectors all over the world. So I even had people from like Hong Kong and America and different countries who knew about Margate and they were totally thrilled.
Because your move, because the London gallery's closed. You've been having a bit of a respite at the moment.
Yeah, exactly.
Rebuilding.
We're currently renovating this giant building in Margate. It's like about 10,000 square foot. And we're going to have three galleries and a whole floor as well for the print business, where we're actually going to be making prints on site for the first time. And there's an artist apartment. And it's a whole new way of living, basically.
But and the print bit, is that going to be like a passing trade? You can go and see prints now in the flesh? Because normally at Counter Editions, it's been an online.
Yeah, you will be able to come and visit and actually see the prints being made as long as the artist.
But there won't be like an area where you can go in and go, oh.
We'll have a small shop.
Okay, cool.
But I'm not sure. It's not going to be like a... It will still be an online business.
Got it.
But it will be much easier for people to come by and look at things. It's going to be amazing. But I was just really excited that people are so open to this idea of having an experience, and rather than just going to Shoreditch, you actually come somewhere and spend a night or just come for the day. It's quite easy to get to from London.
Well, it's going to be a destination, isn't it?
It is, itself, yeah.
So you can just link that in with everything else.
Exactly. And next year, the Turner Prize is coming there. So it'll be at the Turner Contemporary Museum.
Right.
I think in September, before Frieze, which is going to be a big deal as well. So we'll be open then. Tracy Emin's moving her studio there because she came down, saw our building, and then decided to buy the building adjoining to ours and next door. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be neighbours. Mm-hmm. And then Nicholas Kirkwood, who I've also seen this week. Mm-hmm. I went to his studio mm-hmm. and saw his amazing shoes. I'll tell you
about that. So he's a shoe designer.
Yeah, he's just an incredible shoe designer.
Wow.
And he's bought the building next to Tracy, and he's going to have a foundation for digital art and new media, mm-hmm. which is very different to what we're doing. So it's a really great combination.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about Frieze. How, as a dealer, a gallerist this year, how did you find Frieze Art Fair 2018, Regent's Park, London?
I loved it. It was the best year we'd ever had. There were so many people from all over the world, and it was just, I felt like it was probably the most international Frieze I'd experienced. I mean, we've sold all over the world. It was just totally exciting. And we had quite a big presentation. We were in a new location as well, a new booth area, which I was slightly nervous about. But in the end, it was an incredible spot for us. And it went really well. And I actually did walk around on the Saturday with a mutual friend of ours, Aidan Turner from TV and stuff.
Yeah, we did Being Human together.
Exactly.
He's an actor.
And he's also getting into art now and collecting a bit.
Through me?
Through you.
Yes.
Yeah, respect.
Thank you.
So I walked him around the fair, mm-hmm. and during that, I saw some amazing highlights myself.
What did you see?
My favourite painting I saw, well, my favourite work I saw was a painting by Lynette Yiadam Boachi, and it was of a man reclining, reading on a kind of sofa or
daybed.
And I just found it really like a kind of very personal, intimate moment within this very busy marketplace, in a sense. And I was really touched by that. It was at Corvey Mora's booth. And he also had an amazing Welsh ceramicist, this giant, like, pot on his booth, which I was obsessed with.
Lynette is, like, having her time, isn't she? That she's been an artist, has been around for a number of years, but had incredible institutional interest and support right basically from the beginning, hasn't she?
Yeah, totally.
She is a portrait artist, but they're never based on actual people. They're always imagined characters and imagined scenarios. So she never has sitters. But Lynette's having this incredible moment. And she had a big show at the Chisenhow. That was a big breakthrough for her. That was like, that must have been 10, 8 years.
No, I don't think it was even that long ago.
Really?
I've got a weird feeling it might be
maybe
like 5 years ago.
I think
I loved that show. And she got nominated for the Turner Prize.
That's right.
And she's just doing great.
Yeah, and well deserved, because the work is so special.
Whenever I just
see
find
it,
them so intriguing, because you're not really sure always.
They're dreamlike.
And I think because they're not actually real people.
No.
I think they're made up sometimes from elements of like, she'll have like cuttings from magazines or the leg might be from here or they're kind of composites in a way of like.
But sometimes a lot of them just exist. Like the one you saw was more kind of a full painting because this guy is reclining, you can see his environment. Where a lot of time they're kind of figures that are floating or dancing around in a kind of space.
Yeah.
So they have a dreamlike quality about
them. Totally, yeah.
And her work is very recognisably hers, and it's incredibly special. So that's great that was your highlight, you saw that.
It just sort of made me feel quite calm, and it was just almost like a respite during the fair.
Yeah. Why do you think the fair was, especially in our current climate, politically and everything, why do you think the fair was so successful this year for you guys, and why do you think it was so international?
I just think the gallery's grown now. We've been doing it for a long time. Carl started in 2003, and I think it's one of those things, the longer you stay in business, the kind of the more it will slowly expand. And this year did feel like a kind of
everything came together, real loyal base.
And it's really quite meaningful. Like, it's actually, I feel like I'm on this journey with the collectors as well, where we're all growing together.
Yeah.
And
but
there
that,
were
that is not,
people,
do you not think, as a that's my experience as a collector, is one of the best, one of the most enriching things you can get is when you support a young gallery or you support emerging artists, and then you do all grow up. And like now, I'm at this age of 36, and I've been collecting certain artists since I was 28, say, and now they're really doing incredible things, and these galleries are really going somewhere. And you've been part of that journey, you've been part of that story, and you've been kind of a cog, maybe tiny, maybe big, I don't know what it is, but you've been part of a cog that's been turning that mechanism towards where they are now. And I feel like I've been part of Carl Friedman Gallery and Counter Editions, your world, for a long time.
And yeah, it's true. And the thing that was really nice this year is that when I first started working at the gallery, a lot of the price points for some of the artists would have been lower, so maybe like £2,000, £3,000. And now they've gone up, you know, for some of these artists because their careers have evolved. They've got museum shows, they're doing different things. And as time goes on, their prices go up. Mm. And it's fascinating that those collectors that did support us when it was the lower price point are still buying at the higher price point. And
I do
it's
that.
So exciting.
I do exactly the same. I don't, until you get priced out and it's crazy. But if you can do that, it's amazing to have these works and to know that you were there and you bought that when it was at its lowest point, and now you're still able to support and still have that collection.
Yeah, and grow with the artist, but also get a work, you know, at a later point in their their oeuvre or whatever.
Yeah. But what do you think as a fair as a whole?
I really felt there was so much enthusiasm for London and England, and people had, some of the collectors I was speaking to had been up to the Hepworth Wakefield, they'd been to the Henry Moore, like they'd went to, like, for example, Hauser and Worth in Bruton, like they were sort of doing different things across the UK. But then also in London there were so many amazing shows on. I mean, I think more than ever before. The South London Gallery had reopened, which I went to the opening of recently, with 6-8 Architects. They've renovated this incredible old fire station and has an amazing collage that was the highlight of that show for me, by Rebecca Warren, of this cat. It's genius. I love that work.
Have you got a picture of it?
Yeah, I do. It's on my phone. I can show you.
You're recently on Instagram, aren't you?
Basically, I was on Instagram for like 1 month about a year ago, and I was ending up just like posting zoom-ins of like my knitwear, and a few friends, including Tracy, actually called me up and were like, "You need to go and do a textiles degree and come off Instagram." Yeah. It's really embarrassing.
Yeah.
So I've got a new rule that I don't post my knitwear, but I am back on Instagram as of a few days ago.
Do you know what I'm thinking with this in reference to our podcast is that if your Instagram, or we have an Instagram, maybe we have an R&R Instagram, that when we talk about the works, we actually put the works up on that Instagram, and then you can see them as a reference point when you listen to the podcast.
That's a good idea.
Yeah,
I love how we're making this up.
We're making this up,
as we're going.
What we're planning to do is do this on a regular basis and then invite artists, gallerists, other people in, maybe phone them in or get them here in the flesh and then bring them in depending.
Exactly, yeah.
If that's
and thing. We've already got quite a few people who want to come on, which is nice.
Big time.
Woohoo.
But so my experience of Frieze was this year felt like the calmest year for me. It felt very... And I think it's because apparently they had two VIP days, 2 days that were...
Yes, they had Wednesday and Thursday.
Thursday, yeah. So it felt a lot calmer. It felt like there was less of a rush. It was less of a like, sweaty mess. I always make the mistake, because there's parties leading up to the art fair, I always make the mistake the night before of getting kind of drunk at one of these art parties and then turning up at the fair the next day and feeling rough and kind of slightly anxious.
And then you don't know whether you should buy something or not.
You just end up getting like cornered and buy something. But every single time I was like, why have I done this myself? And I get to the fair and I'm exhausted and I just feel really pale and clammy. But I went to the Joe Bradley had an opening at Gagosian Gallery, and there was he had a dinner, drinks at Annabelle. So I ended up there and I wasn't going to drink much, but they kept filling up my glass, and you feel bad if you don't.
What, so basically you turned up for the fair the next day completely like hungover?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I know.
How was Joe's show?
It's great.
I
love Joe Bradley. I felt like it was, his painting is incredibly strong. They're incredibly strong paintings. They're very Joe Bradley. I don't think we're seeing something we haven't seen before. I think we're seeing an incredibly talented, accomplished, important artist producing work that we know he can produce. It didn't feel like, for me, a show that was totally groundbreaking. It just felt like you're seeing work that...
But that's okay. I mean,
it's completely fine. I've not got a problem with that.
Yeah.
But it was a big show, and I feel like the next show he does that's as big as that, we're going to see something else.
But also, I think people sometimes forget with contemporary art that it's not that easy just to suddenly keep reinventing yourself, or even necessary to reinvent yourself.
True.
And some of the great artists of our time, like the changes and the evolution of the work actually take decades, or it can take a long time. So it's not like but I think these days, because we're used to a culture on Instagram and all of these ways of communicating, that it's not even necessarily just disposable, but it's very like fast-paced, and I think we all want something new. It's almost like the fashion industry, the way that each season something's different.
Sure.
It's like we're all getting obsessed with the idea of things changing, but I almost think more subtle change in art is actually maybe a good thing.
Correct, and what you're saying is if you took a bird's eye view out on someone's career, you will see
and maybe you will see more.
Totally.
And even if you look,
I mean, I loved it. I'm not like
yeah, yeah.
I was completely like thrilled with it. It was amazing.
I haven't seen it yet because I was installing at the fair, so I didn't actually make it.
It's great. You know, I came from, I went to the Kerry James Marshall opening at the Werner Gallery.
Oh, wow. I haven't seen that either.
Met him, met his wife.
Cool.
Lynette was there, who runs a studio museum in Harlem, is Duro Luo's wife.
Oh, yeah.
Thelma Golden.
Oh, Thelma Golden.
Yes, she met, well, I passed her. I said hello. I felt a bit starstruck. But that was a brilliant opening, amazing show. I only saw downstairs. I couldn't get upstairs. And then went to Joe's show and then went for the dinner and then turned up to the fair slightly hungover. But it was lovely. And this year, Tracy Emin was curating the Deutsche Bank Lounge.
Yeah.
And she had a whole, like, a corridor of rosemary truckle watercolours. And then you went in and she had female artists from the Deutsche Bank collection that she installed and hung together. And that was a really cool...
Yeah, and she also did this charity project where each person in the collection of Deutsche Bank, they made a unique postcard and they sold them, I think, for £200 each.
Mm.
And she gave all the proceeds to like six different charities, including a domestic abuse one in Margate, which was really cool.
Right.
And she made her own new neon as well called Another World,
that was lovely.
Which was the title of the exhibition.
Yeah, superb.
Yeah.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, this is Russell Tovey and Robert Diamond from Talk Arts, the arts podcast, and we're here today with Budweiser beer, and we're going to be talking about something very, very important to both of us, aren't we, Rob?
That's right. Budweiser, the king of beers, has joined forces with legendary artist Sir Peter Blake, the godfather of British pop art and someone that both of us have adored since we were kids.
I've loved pop art since I was a kid, and Sir Peter Blake has been a constant for me, alongside other pop art artists, the Americans like Andy Warhol, Roy Lichtenstein, Keith Haring. And I got into pop art, Rob, because I loved cartoons growing up. I mean, I still love animation. But suddenly I discovered that so many artists were referencing comic strips and cartoons in their artworks, and I could go and see them in museums, and I suddenly didn't need to grow up. And Sir Peter Blake was one of these artists that meant so much to me. And I think people, if they don't know the name Sir Peter Blake, you would certainly know his work. The album cover for The Beatles, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club, Oasis's Stop the Clocks. These are iconic art historical moments that this artist has actually been at the forefront of.
And you've met him, haven't you?
I've met him, at the South Bank Show Awards years ago. I was there for the History Boys, and he was there, and I got incredibly excited and met him. But you've not met him before, have you, Rob?
I have. I've actually even been to his house and hung out with him and his wife, and I got to make an amazing print with him, which was a huge privilege, actually. It was a real career moment for me. So Budweiser and Sir Peter Blake have come together to unite, and they have created an exclusive limited edition beer can, which doubles as a collectible piece of pop art.
And it was on display at London's Truerman Brewery on the 23rd and 24th of March this year, if you were lucky enough to get there. And also, were you one of the lucky few that were able to get one of the signed beer cans by Sir Peter Blake himself? And there was something very special there, wasn't there, Rob? What was that?
They've actually made the first ever fridge frame, which kind of is reminiscent of what we would be, you know, accustomed with in terms of a museum exhibit. Yeah. But this fridge frame is designed to display the limited edition can of beer as a work of art, but also keeps the beer cool.
Okay, I need a fridge full of fridge frames because this sounds incredible. So Peter Blake's work adorns the cans with all of his eye-catching simplicity. It features the Budweiser's iconic red bow tie logo, but it's encompassed impressed by the artist's signature and his use of block colours and icons. They unveiled this artistic can in all of its glory in one of these fridge frames, as Rob said, which is very exciting. The limited edition cans are available to purchase as a four-pack for a limited time only in selected Tesco stores nationwide.
Budweiser and Sir Peter Blake, thank you for bringing us this cultural moment. I love it when art reaches new audiences, and I really feel like this is going to go into everyone's homes, and is really joyous. So head over to Tesco, pick up a four-pack. Thank you, Budweiser.
But also, if you want to get this collectible piece of art at home, Budweiser also giving people the chance to own their very own exclusive fridge frame. Beer and art lovers can register their interest by visiting www.budweiser.co.uk/Sir Peter Blake collab. That's budweiser.co.uk/Sir Peter Blake collab. Budweiser and talk art with Sir Peter Blake.
What was your highlight in Freeze? Did you discover anything new? I know you mentioned to
yes,
me
so Vanessa Carlos's, Carlos Ishikawa's gallery.
Bernd Eckermans.
Yes. Bernd Eckermans was an artist. And I think it's
Bent Eckermans.
B-E-N-D-T.
Sorry, not Bent.
Bent.
Eckermans.
Eckermans. So he's a 23, 24-year-old artist. And
I didn't realise he was that young.
But she had a solo booth of his work, painting their figurative...
The thing that struck me most was the use of light. Mm. Like they have this really strange light. Mm. It's almost like a kind of dusk or twilight
ethereal
or something. Sort of like a weird darkness to it.
Yeah.
And I felt like I hadn't seen that in recent paintings, so it did feel quite different.
And that was a discovery. That's like that was stumbling on that booth was like, wow, this is good. And that's exciting when you do that. A lot of the time you do recognize the work, or you might have seen it on your periphery, or it's been on Instagram or something, but this was work that I'd never seen. I thought that was a total success. I think she told me they completely sold out the whole booth.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It's really exciting for him. So his next thing is going to be hotly anticipated, and so it should be. I saw a lot of great work.
Did you go in the sculpture park?
No, I missed the sculpture park. I got to go and do a play.
Which play?
The play that I'm in at the moment.
Oh, the Pinter play.
The Pinter, yeah. So I'm performing on the stage. So I was like, you know, I had to skip off at some point and make sure I was around for that. But, yeah, I mean, I thought it was... It was good this year, but it didn't feel like I had as many wow moments.
Yeah. But also, maybe that's because you're constantly looking at art anyway, so you're not necessarily going to keep discovering things because know what everyone's going to be presenting.
Sure. And a lot of the times, you know, if you're in the galleries, they do send you like a preview PDF, so you know what they're going to be showing.
Yeah.
I thought Modern Institute, I thought Toby's booth was so good.
They won the award, I think, for best stand.
Yeah, well, the room at the back that they had was...
The other thing I thought was great was one of the younger galleries, Union Pacific from London, they were showing Zadie Char, who...
Was that the focus section?
Yes.
Yes.
And
so
we
there was
actually,
a whole prize set up.
I think she won... Oh, no, didn't win a prize, but I think Contemporary Art Society bought some of her work for a collection in the UK. Yeah. But that booth really stood out, and she's very much got her own language.
Well, this year, the Camden Arts Centre set up an Emerging Art Prize for the focus section.
Yes.
Where they would give a solo show to an artist.
Which is amazing.
Which is amazing. I was involved in that on the periphery. I donated towards the art prize, and I was there as part of the judging committee. And this year, an artist called Wong Ping won.
Great.
And they'll be having a show at Camden Arts Centre in the near future.
That's amazing.
Yeah, but that's great. That's a whole new thing that's been set up that's incredibly exciting and important and supportive because, you know, the current climate, emerging art has ebbs and flows of, you know, support. Sometimes it's the most important, like very emerging. Sometimes it's the most important thing and everyone's behind it. And other times it sort of gets left until they're more established and the collectors then want to come in and institutions are more interested then. So it's...
And I think it's great that you're supporting that because that's genuine passion for you. And don't you also, aren't you supporting the Tate now?
Has Art Now at the Tate Britain and I'm one of the patron benefactors of that.
I thought I saw your name on the wall.
You did.
There you go.
You didn't think...
I was there actually for the Turner Prize because... By the way, that's Russell pouring water.
Yeah, that's not me urinating.
Not tea. I actually wanted tea, but he's given me water.
You got a teapot.
The Turner Prize this year is a really interesting edition. I don't know if you've seen it yet, but
no.
I've seen one of the four...
Who's been nominated this year?
...works in full. The one that I watched was Charlotte Prodger, who's based in Glasgow, and it's about a 35-minute film. And I found it incredibly touching, and I was so... sort of into it and moved by it that by the end of it, I just wanted to leave having just watched that. So I'm going to go back and see the others.
So you did leave after just watching that?
Yeah, I just watched hers because I actually felt really sort of inspired by it. And I loved the visual connections through it and the use of colour throughout the film. Mm-hmm. And it's a very, it's got almost like diary elements to it. Like she kind of, there's a lot of spoken word, like over the visuals, and it's very personal. And I left just feeling really like, wow, I loved that. And I just thought, I'm going to wait and come back and see the other three nominees at another time, because this year, interestingly, they're all film-based works. So they're all in kind of dark rooms. Mm. So it's not as straightforward as just walking through and seeing mm-hmm. sculptures and soaking
it's
up that.
It's
kind of like you have to focus
time.
On it.
Yes.
And I want to give my time to it.
Yes.
And I actually bumped into Charlotte afterwards, and I was just completely like, almost like, you know, high from it. I found it really touching.
Did you tell her?
Yeah, I did, yeah. And just the use of the images of nature in it. Like, there's this incredible moment where she's filming on a kind of ferry in the sea, and you just see the ferry moving up and down. It's kind of like a strong like motion. It was just totally incredible. And then another bit where she's in almost like mountains or tree area. It's all these beautiful trees. So I need to go and see.
Yeah,
the
again,
other
I had a play.
The maybe we should go together because you haven't.
Yes,
seen
I need
it
to.
At
well,
all.
The thing is, doing a play is amazing, but then like you miss out on all the openings and things because you don't have much time. But I'm going to be catching up on all of those, which would be incredibly exciting. What's our blockbuster show in London at the moment?
Isn't it Annie Albers?
Yes, it's just opened the tape. Modern, yes, going to go and check that out. That's going to be very exciting.
I can't wait to see that.
Yeah, me too. So I did. The big thing for me this year was that I opened up my apartment to Frieze Art Fair VIPs.
Oh, yeah.
So I had about 40 people come in. You skipped out the fair and come and help me.
I did. Well, I thought I wasn't going to be able to come because it was like 11 a.m. on Friday 12, morning.
12 till 1:30.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like I had to come before and like
yes.
check that all the drinks and canapes were okay.
Yes.
Gales. Yeah.
Drunk and ate them all and said they were delicious.
Yeah, great.
It was amazing. It was incredibly daunting, but exciting.
Well, it's quite a massive thing to invite people into your home.
Yeah.
And you had Michael Craig Martin, who's one of the world's leading artists, interview you, which was pretty genius.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I loved the way you had his screen print in the bathroom.
The toilet, the guest toilet. Yes, but everybody would have seen it.
Exactly.
Because everybody used the toilet.
Did he give you that?
Yeah.
And what is it? It's a light.
It was made for the National Theatre, so it's like a stage light.
Ah,
so
nice.
It's his figuration of a stage light.
And you'd spent like a month kind of reinstalling the collection a bit, hadn't you?
Yeah. So this is the irony, right? Is that I've been spending the last like 3.5 weeks while I've been like opening the play, taking the play, rehearsing, having builders in every day, decorating my apartment. I got all the art, everything that I wanted. We did the tour. It's so good. The tour was so good. The chat was great. I left with my friend Holly, and we went and got some lunch. I went and got my hair cut, and then I got a call from a neighbour upstairs going, "I think we have a little, might have a little bit of a leak." I was like, "Right, come back." It was like raining in my two bedrooms.
I saw the video. I still can't quite get over it.
I was like, "This is ironic. What is this? Is surreal."
And the thing is, your flat looked so beautiful. So,
I know. I literally got spoiled. I was like, finished.
And then there's like,
oh no, here we go
everywhere again.
Everywhere.
What did you do? Did you have to take all the art down?
Yeah, I literally run it. I literally run in and I was dragging things off walls. There's pieces of art that needed like three men to hang up. And I was like Superwoman going in there. And I was literally like, no! Picking them off the wall and putting it in the living room, moving them all out. So I think I got away with a lot. But my mattress in my bed were decimated. I had no mattress. I was sleeping
on the
sofa.
Well, that video you sent me, you were like putting your hand onto the seat and it was just like water.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like a sponge on the chair. Yeah. So that's just a whole lot of insurance blah, at the minute, but that's all covered. It's fine. But it was just ironic. But it is what it is. Life happens, stuff goes on, and you move forward.
And I met some of the collectors later in the week and they were all so psyched about it. They loved hearing you talk. And they were all, the word I kept hearing about you was passion, so that's nice.
Oh.
And you had that Tracy Neon up, which says more passion.
Yeah.
Which sums it all up.
Yeah, so that's been a big year for me, like Frieze. And it felt like for the first time, feel like I haven't got imposter syndrome.
Oh.
I think you felt that as well, right?
Maybe.
Going into the art world is that you feel like...
It was quite daunting in the beginning.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, as a collector, I feel like people take you more seriously if you show that you're actually passionate about the art world, which I am, and you contribute to, you know, the fundamental side of looking after artists and supporting institutions. So financially, if you show that you're willing to do that as well as collect work, it sets you in good stead. So for me, it felt like the first year, I felt like, okay, I know people can see that I'm...
Well, I found the talk quite sweet, really, because it was just your journey through collecting, and a lot of it started with works on paper and drawings and things like that. And I think it was really inspiring, because it wasn't like you were just some sort of very wealthy person who collects art because you've been told to, as an investment or something.
I don't have advisors or anything.
No, exactly. Yeah. You've just sort of done it all yourself, and it's a really... I don't know, it was great to hear. And I think Michael was really proud of you as well. It was super nice.
He's a lovely man.
Yeah.
Lovely man.
So just before Freeze, we went out in Clapham because you had been at Studio Voltaire. So can you tell me about that project?
Of course. So Studio Voltaire is on Nelson's Row in Clapham. And last year at the LGBTQI church in Chelsea in New York, Peter McGough opened up the church for Oscar Wilde.
Right.
And... it was beautiful, and there was an effigy, a wooden carved effigy of Oscar Wilde at the front of the church. And it was there's no religion. It's just about acceptance and a community spirit. And you can go there and just be peaceful. Anyway, Studio Voltaire has opened the Oscar Wilde Church in London, and it's stunning.
Wow.
And all the proceeds are going to the Albert Kennedy Trust. And the Albert Kennedy Trust is a charity which I'm a patron of, which supports LGBTQI homeless youth. So if they're going through crisis where the choice of coming out or the discovery or the knowledge that they are gay in any way, they lose their homes. This charity is there to support and protect them. And it's an amazing, amazing charity, and very important, and one that I'm very passionate about. So there was a link between that and Studio Voltaire, which I'm also a patron of as an institution, as a public space. So it was like a perfect storm, and we had a dinner there.
Awesome.
And I took along our friend Pedro. Pedro Pascal.
Oh, yeah. Who also came out with us afterwards.
Image friends, yes. And we ended up at the Two Bros pub opposite. We didn't drink at all.
That's a really good point. I've never drunk alcohol the whole of my life.
Yes.
The whole of my life, yes. I never drank alcohol. At the age of 37, Russell Tovey has got me into drinking champagne.
Just champagne.
And that evening was the Saturday before Freeze.
That's
I was installing on the Sunday, Monday. And what did you do? You bought me two bottles of champagne. Right. Only little ones.
It's so exciting to see you relaxed and drinking champagne.
I know, it's really glamorous.
It's amazing. But I've tried to make you drink Prosecco and you get furious about it, and you can taste the difference. You're so... media.
Oh dear.
Yes, but that's been an exciting forwardness in our friendship.
And what happens at this church now? At the
well, it's open. It's open all the time, so you can just pop in. You make a donation to the Albert Kennedy Trust, and you can go in and just sit and.
Can't you even get married there if you want?
You can get married.
You can do anything.
You can do anything you want there. You
right.
can put forward what you want. There's going to be events coming up. I think there's going to be. I think we've got Ian McKellen doing a quiz at some point.
Wicked.
We've got. I'm going to be performing some Oscar Wilde pieces at some point in there. There's going to be pledges for various, you know, like love and friends and everything is going to be going on there. Hopefully we're going to get some people singing, we're going to do other dinners. It's going to be a whole big magical thing where you can just go and enjoy this space. It's really, really special and unique.
I love the idea that it's constantly changing as well. So like each experience you have there will be totally unique.
Yeah, totally different.
It's really
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's
well,
a
I'm looking
thing.
Forward to going there.
So you haven't been there yet?
Okay. I haven't been yet, but I did get Jonas Wood's blanket.
Yeah, I got two of those, one for me and one for my parents.
Oh.
Although it was actually meant to be a Christmas present, so if they do listen to this podcast, which they probably will, ruin the gift.
Well done. I'm so proud of you. I love it when you ruin gifts. Okay.
So okay, let's just talk about two more things.
Yeah.
What's coming up edition-wise? You have some more editions coming out. So you've just released Luke Toymans. What is on the horizon for...
Well, this summer I had an American painter called Catherine Bernhardt, who we worked with in the gallery, but we also worked with her for Counter Editions. And she flew over to London, and we'd been working on this ceramic toucan, which is this kind of giant, toucan. It's probably like the size of your torso or something.
2 foot toucan.
A 2 foot toucan. And she hand painted each one. But when we actually glazed the first tests, she didn't like them because they came out too kind of shiny and they just didn't look right. And it made the painting look a bit odd as well. So we thought the whole project was going to get scrapped.
Right.
And she almost talked about smashing them up and making them into a mosaic or something. So I just stopped thinking about it. And then the first day of Freeze, we get a text from the guy saying, oh, by the way, I've just fired some of the toucans. And I was like, no, I was meant to tell him like not to make the addition, you know, to like cancel the whole thing. But he fired it at the wrong temperature, at a lower temperature,
right.
And it came out completely matte. And they look amazing now.
Oh, wow.
So we've saved the whole project.
How many did you fire before, though?
We fired about 5 of them.
So she just wants to kill them off.
She wants to kill them off, but we've now found out she can paint over them again and then refire them at a lower temperature and they'll look matte. So those ones are going to end up being artist proofs. But I think it's going to be an addition of 18 plus 6 APs.
When's that coming out this year?
It'll come out November the 1st.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Great.
And they're incredible, and each one's unique, and they're like buying a painting of hers, basically, but on a ceramic sculpture.
Where would you be able to see these if you've not actually got physical space at the moment?
We're going to have them all photographed and filmed, so we're going to film them.
360.
Yeah, we're doing a turntable thing where you're going to be able to see each one moving, so that's going to be really fun. And then we're also in talks with Christian Markley, who we've never worked with before.
Yep.
We're hopefully going to be releasing a print by him, and then...
Oh, that's something you've got to see, is the clock. Christian Markley clock is at the Tate Modern.
Exactly.
Which is, for me, so for me with video art, I always find video art challenging because being an actor, production values, I want to be very high. And a lot of the video art, I can't. Again, it's an investment of time. I find it tough as a medium. Mm. I find it very tough. The clock is something which you can't watch the whole way through because it's 24 hours. But
well, you can if you like camped out there. I bet you some mega fan has camped out.
But you just focused for 24 hours.
Yeah, it's a bit like Big Brother TV show where you weren't allowed to sleep.
What was
you
that
have
one?
To, like, stay awake. They had like a thing where you weren't allowed to sleep and you had to like stay awake.
Thing?
Channel 4, you had to like, it was on for like a week and you had to like stay awake for a week. You weren't allowed to sleep. Do you not remember that?
No.
It was like Big Brother, but it was like you can't sleep anyway.
Oh, not as a viewer.
No.
I thought you meant as like a public test.
So
like, as an audience, you can't sleep. I was like, when did we do this? the Christian Markley clock is a phenomenal piece of art that is historical and seminal and incredibly important and brilliant. Now, that is something that I keep forgetting is there. And people are like, what should I go and see? That's what you have to go and see.
Good
it's one. Amazing because people who see it literally... you are in awe of the achievements in this film. It's absolutely amazing. But tell me about the addition with Christian Markley.
Well, we haven't actually... We're going to a studio, so that's really early stage. But he's said yes to making an addition with us, and I've always wanted to work with him, so that's exciting.
Great, great, great.
And the other one is Martin Creed. We're currently making a unique addition with him, where each print will be completely different colours, but all in shades of blue and purple, I think.
Right, so a monograph.
Yes, one of his paintings where, you know, he makes different marks, like every day or whatever, across a canvas. It'll be all different colours of blue. It's going to be beautiful.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's coming up.
That's exciting.
So there we go.
That's it. So going forwards, for us, I guess, this is nice, us chit-chatting, but we will be introducing guests.
Yes.
And I feel like we'll either treat them as people to be... like intrigue and questioning.
Yeah.
And we're going to want to know about their
life. We're going to interrogate them.
We're going to interrogate them on a podcast. Or we're going to just chit-chat again like friends. It depends who they are, but it'd be really...
But I think it's really important that the guests we're inviting are actually meaningful to our lives, like we actually know a lot
absolutely.
Of them. And I think it's going to be quite a personal approach.
Yes.
One of them we're hoping is going to be Michael Craig Martin, and partly what interested me when you were talking to him with the Freeze VIP talk was this idea of what he collects. And I'm quite interested to find out what other people collect, not necessarily art even, because often artists have amazing collections. Mm. So that's one angle that I'm quite...
Well, a lot of artists trade art with other artists, don't they? And they end up with these incredible collections. Apparently, Brian Bellot in the States has like 6 seminal Joe Bradleys.
Yeah, totally. And huge. Catherine Bernhardt has amazing collection.
Joyce Pensato's work. And Cause has an amazing collection, like art collection.
Yeah.
So it's amazing to... It will be amazing to talk to artists who... appreciate and collect other.
But you know, like when we're in
work.
Germany, we went to Berlin and we were at Thilo Heinzmann's studio, his painting studio. Like he has the most amazing collections of things, and that's kind of part of his work in a way. Like he collects all this vintage glass or different things. So I'm up for talking to people like him as well.
Yeah, and Tracy Emin collects Louise Bourgeois work, doesn't she? And
she's got all kinds of stuff
by her.
At Freeze, I met Dries Van Noten for the first time, who's one of my all time heroes, the Belgian fashion designer, and I'd love to invite him, like people like that.
Mm.
So let's see what happens.
Let's see. But anyway, it's been a pleasure talking to you, Rob.
It's just been a joy. I don't know what to say. And the tea was just the best tea I think I've ever had.
Yeah. And the water's been pretty special.
No, I didn't drink that.
Oh, I did.
I just drink tea, thank you.
Okay.
Tea
and champagne.
We'll be back very soon.
Yes.
With a very special guest, soon to be announced.
Yes.
And actually, yeah, we're going to set up an Instagram so you can follow us at that. It'll be on, if you go to @RussellTovey. Is that your...
That's my Instagram,
handle?
But yeah. I think...
We're going to make one up. Anyway.
We're going to make one up.
And you'll find it.
You'll find out.
Yeah.
But maybe we'll
say... Oh, actually, there's @RobertDiamond as well now.
No, it's not going to be that. It's going to be @R&R&Art.
Talk art.
More than on art.
On art.
Well, let's just take a poll what people want. R&R&Art or R&R Talk Art.
I think talk art sounds better because it's like art talk, but we're talking art.
Art smack.
No.
Anyway, goodbye. Good night.
You've been listening to Talk Art with Robert Diamant and Russell Tovey. Follow us on Instagram @TalkArt, where you can view images of all artworks discussed in this episode. Recorded at Spiritland London by Anthony Shaw and edited by Gareth Isles. Subscribe to Talk Art on iTunes and Spotify. Give us a rating and write us a comment. Thanks for listening.